This call is being recorded.
Hello, everyone. This is Renee Rentmeester, creator and executive producer of the Cooking Without Looking TV show and podcast. Today, all the way from Colorado, we have Amber Messmer. Amber, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, good. Hey, when I put out those questions or asking for people, request for people to come on the podcast, you were like one of the first.
Yeah, I love cooking, so.
Oh, yeah. So that's what made you do it, right? Because of your love of cooking. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. You just told me you were totally blind.
Yeah, I was actually born in St. Louis, Missouri. I have a really rare condition called Leber's congenital amaurosis. I don't really know much about it, but apparently nobody does. I'm 23. I lived in St. Louis until I was about 18 or 19. But I didn't have the easiest childhood, I guess. So I was never taught how to do anything for myself. So I decided to get some independence training. And then I came to Colorado. I fell in love and I stayed. It actually was life-changing. So now I'm over here. I work on advocacy groups. I work with the Department of Human Resources. I'm starting a full-time job in a few weeks. I teach Braille and technology. It's awesome. And at the center, I learned the basics of cooking, and I took that and experimented. So sometimes it turns out good, sometimes it doesn't.
That's like all of us, Amber. I wanted go back to you. You're going to be teaching Braille and technology. That's really quite interesting because it seems like there are two camps of people for blindness. You know, one camp says, oh, we just need technology. And there's the other camp that says, oh, no, we need Braille. And you sort of have married both of them.
Yes. So I'm actually UEB certified. And I feel like they go hand in hand. Like, we can't have one without the other. Technology is advancing at such a rate now. I mean, we have Braille screen input on the iPhone. I believe it's Braille input for Android. There's so much, you know. So now, why not take advantage of both and advance your, I don't know, maybe professional career?
That makes a lot of sense. Because, you know, I guess a lot of people say, well, without the Braille, you know, many blind people don't end up being literate as well as they should. And then with the technology, you know, you can, that pretty much opens up the whole world for blind people. So the combo is probably the best of both worlds, isn't it?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about yourself. Do you have any stories you have because of your blindness? How did you go to school? Did you have like a regular school? Were you in a regular school or were you in a school for the blind?
So I was in a regular school. School is very interesting for me. I did not have, I mean, I have parents, but like they didn't participate in my schooling like they should. So I didn't get the advocacy. So I had a Braille teacher who would advocate for me, and then I learned how to advocate on my own, which would serve me quite a bit later in my schooling. But by fifth grade, I was basically helping manage my own IEP. And it's, a lot of people are like, wow, that's so great. For me, it was more like, this is what I need. I'm not going to get it unless I step up. So from an early age, I feel like I kind of grew up faster than most people, in a sense. So it was a normal school until middle school. They tried to convince me that I needed to go to a school for the blind, and we fought it for quite a while and won.
Why were you fighting it, Amber?
I had a bad experience when I was younger up there. But also, it was more for me, it was the social aspect. I was in the school that I'd been in my whole life. I made friends. You know, I was comfortable with the people around me, even if I didn't know them. And I would prefer to stay closer to home. So It was a
Well,
lot.
that makes sense. And isn't it hard, like when you're so sort of totally separate from sighted people, and then you have to go into the work world? You know, it seems to me the best thing to do is be with, you know, the combination of people so that it's more comfortable.
Yeah, I've heard that from a lot of people, and that's kind of what made me a little nervous is I didn't want to stand out necessarily. I just wanted to know how to live everyday life. And I felt like learning from the people around me would be a better option. So
A lot of sense.
I, yeah. And I stayed, and then high school they took all my services away. So that
What?
was fun. They stripped me of my IEP and gave me a 504, which allows them a lot more flexibility in what they can do. So the services that I had previously qualified for, they're like, you don't need those anymore. You're in high school. Obviously, technology training was not very high on the list.
No,
And
no.
for any blind person about to hit college, that's huge. So yeah, it was a long fight that I did not win.
Oh man, did you end up going to college?
So I actually left when I graduated high school. I moved all the way across the state, and I did attend 1 year of college. And that's when I realized, wow, I know nothing about living on my own. So I struggled to get around the campus because it was very wide, and they didn't really have a differentiating mark between sidewalks and streets.
Oh gosh.
But yeah, I struggled with that. I struggled with getting to my classes during the winter. I just felt kind of isolated because it was a very small town, and I didn't have a lot of options with transportation. And I decided to start searching for vocational center, kind of a training center to help me out, because I was like, wow, I am so unprepared.
Do you use a cane or a guide dog or anything?
I use a cane.
And how did you feel about that when you went to college? Did people ask about it? Did they understand what it was used for?
No one really asked me. That was the experience I never really had until I left Missouri. But a lot of people were just accepting. They're just like, cool. You need help? No? All right. Normally when I would go to my yeah, I know. Normally when I would go to class, I wouldn't see anybody. That was like the worst part because I always needed, help trying to figure out where I was going.
Sure, but when we're in that age, we sort of don't want help no matter what the case, do we?
Well, that's where I'm a little different. I get that we as blind people are supposed to be independent, but I also do believe that there is a time and a place when we need to sacrifice our pride and ask for help just like anybody else, because, sighted people ask for directions all the time.
Oh, sure. I know. I still wonder what happened to the people who've asked me for directions if they ever made it. But so tell me how you got into cooking, how you started to enjoy cooking.
So I actually went to the Colorado Center for the Blind, and I was terrified of anything relating to a stove.
Believe it, all the heat.
Well, yeah, and I didn't like sizzling sounds, because it made me nervous. I associated them with people getting popped with grease, and so I was like, I don't. The first time I made ground beef, I was with my boyfriend, my current boyfriend, and he showed me how to make it, and it popped him in the face. And I ran and hid by the fridge. Yeah. But once I finally got over that fear, I think I started off more with baking than anything, and then I slowly transitioned to, different things in the skillet and the air fryer. My spice cabinet is ridiculous. There's way too many spices in there.
Oh my gosh. Well, so are there any particular types of food you like to cook the most?
So I love Mexican food. I, yeah, it's my favorite.
Oh yeah, and the recipe that you sent us today, it's now going to be the Cooking Without Looking recipe of the day. It's on our website, www.cookingwithoutlooking.com. TV.wordpress.com, and tell us about that recipe because I haven't had breakfast yet, and that just looks so good to me.
So do you want me to describe it or the ingredients?
Yeah.
Or... So I was wanting some homemade enchiladas, and before I left, I copied like all the recipes the school, the training center I was at had on their drive. And I just started going through them and I found this recipe. And it's super unhealthy, so that's
You know, it doesn't matter. There's no judgment here at Cooking Without Look. To health with it.
my gosh. It's super good. I only make it when I have a lot of people over, but they all keep demanding that I make it again. So it calls for 1 1/2 to 2 pounds boneless, skinless chicken breasts. I got a scale so I could measure. I felt like that would be more accurate.
True, that's true, it is.
It calls for 1 1/2 stick of butter or oil. I prefer butter. I feel like butter makes everything better.
Oh yeah, butter's the best. If you're going to make this recipe, you need to use that butter. That oil isn't ever going to become close to that butter.
Well, I don't think it actually. I know when I use breading, I use butter instead of eggs because it seems like it just has a better taste and it's a better binding agent.
Okay.
It calls for 1 large onion. I adapted that because we don't eat onion like that, so I used about a fourth of an onion. Calls for 2 cans chopped green chilies drained, which is one of my favorite ingredients.
Oh, yeah.
1 small jar chunky salsa, 8 ounces of sour cream, and 2 packages of cream cheese softened. It calls for, I use two, it says 1 large or 2 small cans enchilada sauce, red or green. I don't exactly know the difference, but I know that green tastes way better to me.
Yeah. I like green salsa too. It seems like everyone veers towards that red stuff, but I really like the green.
Yeah, it's hard to find.
Salsa verde. In Spanish. Thought I'd just whip that in there.
It calls for 1 can of chopped olives. I do not use olives. Shredded Monterey cheese or Mexican blend, and corn or flour tortillas. I've never done this with corn tortillas, so I don't know how that would taste. So I like this recipe specifically because it's the first time I learned how to boil chicken. Like, I've never heard of it until I looked this up, and it seems like it actually works a lot better when you're shredding. So I usually boil it for like 40 minutes just to make sure it's done.
Oh, okay.
And so you boil the chicken, you let it cool, you chop into small chunks, and you set aside. And then in a skillet, which I am now very familiar with, you add butter or oil, chopped onions, and green chilies. You cook until tender. So I normally cook onions and green chilies 5 to 7 minutes, depending on the smell. When they start to burn, they have like a, I don't know, what would you call that? Like an acrid smell, kind of.
Sure.
And then you
Well, that's
add.
all. I'm sorry, go on.
No, you're fine.
That's always a way, and people don't realize this. That's always a way to know when something's cooked is when you smell it.
Yeah, when it starts to have that really fragrant onion smell, you're probably done.
Yeah.
It says add chicken chunks, salsa, sour cream, and cream cheese. You simmer until thickened. Every single time I do this, I look at this and I'm like, wow, that is a lot of, it's a lot of liquid.
It is,
And
it makes it saucy, right? It's sort of
it does. It's very creamy, and as long as you stir it, it doesn't stick to the bottom.
Oh man! And with the sour cream and the cream cheese and the mm-hmm. butter. Oh my gosh. That just sounds so good. It's nice. It's a rich, very rich dish, isn't it?
It is. So I only make it like every 3 months. I'm just like, okay. And it says remove from heat and let cool slightly. And this is my least favorite part. So you're supposed to spoon the mixture into the tortilla shells. And then you can fold it. It took me a while to learn how to fold a burrito.
It's an acquired skill, because everyone has a difficult time, rolling mm-hmm. those burritos and making sure things don't just like fall out all over the place.
Yeah, I always overfill it. So I normally try to roll it. And then I top it with the enchilada sauce and cheese. It usually makes about 2 pans. Quite a bit.
Wow, yeah, so I can see where you make that for your friends.
Oh, yeah. You bake at preheated 350-degree oven until cheese melts and is bubbling. You can serve it with rice or tortilla chips. I'm huge on homemade Spanish rice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, how do you make your Spanish rice?
I don't know the exact recipe. I took it out of my boyfriend's cookbook, but it's like rice and water, tomatoes, pimientos. I know I'm missing like Tabasco sauce or something. And you let it just kind of simmer for 20 minutes. It's really good. It's super spicy, though.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great. Do you have like a dessert with this then afterwards?
No, I'm not that ambitious. I mean, I could do chocolate chip cookies. We love chocolate chip cookies here, so.
Well, there you go. It sounds like it would be something cool, like maybe like some sort of a pudding or something that's sort of like an ice cream or.
Yeah.
Something cool to cool off your mouth after all the peppers and things. It sounds mm-hmm. really, but that does sound like an amazing recipe. What do your guests say when you serve it?
So, I normally get text messages later being like, hey, I need that recipe, or I need you to make that again. And I'm like, it's only been a few hours. And they're like, yeah.
you could make it and sell it.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know. I love cooking for people.
Yeah. Why do you love cooking for people?
I don't know. I've never been like a homemaker person, but I love just having people over and fix. I don't know. I like fixing food for people and having them try it.
Yeah. You know what? I love doing that too. And it's like you've done something. It's like a great big hug for their tummy. And he just, you know, I love watching people eat. Like people will say, I'll make things, and then people will start eating, and I'll just be sitting there watching, and they go, well, aren't you gonna eat? It's like, no, you know, I'm gonna eat later, but I'm enjoying you enjoying the food.
Uh-huh.
So do you have any philosophies that you live by in your life?
I'm not much of a philosophy person. I feel like, I don't know, I just kind of, I do the whole do your best, always keep pushing. So, like, I'm finally going back to school this spring to be a lawyer. I want to finish my law degree.
That's great. Yeah,
I feel like it's always important to try. So, like, right now I do a lot of accessibility and technology work and advocacy. I feel like later on in my career that'll help.
Yes. What kind of a lawyer are you going to be, as an advocate for people who are blind or all disabilities?
I don't necessarily know that I'm going to take the disability route. I was thinking probably criminal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what intrigues you about the criminal side?
I admired one of our school resource officers like ever since I was younger, and we became super close in high school because I went through a lot of stuff. And I was like, wow, like I want to do what you do, because I got to see him, not necessarily in action, but I get to see him like just doing his job, and I was like, this is so cool. But I was like, I'm blind, they're not going to give me a gun. So, and then
Oh.
I was like, I don't want to work in a prison, because people were like, well, you could work in the prisons, and I'm like, no, thank you.
Oh my. No, no, no.
Yeah.
Well, what
So I was like, well, I'll be a lawyer.
Yeah. So what do people say when they see you and they you tell them you're going to be a lawyer and then they're like, do they ever say, "Well, but you're blind?"
No, I don't know if it's my face. I do not get that reaction. I used to get it, but when I'm around people, especially who don't know me, I don't act arrogant, but I try to like show a sense of independence and maybe strong will. So I usually don't get that question. They're just like, that's so cool.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Sometimes,
People in
people.
Colorado are like familiar with blind people, so they're used to our, I guess, ambitions.
Oh, well, that's great. That's good to know about Colorado. They're sort of like, I just figure they're sort of like a cool group of people up there anyway.
I mean, yeah, I don't. It's amazing. It's accessible. The transportation talks, it's pretty easy to get around Littleton and Denver. Like, I don't know, it feels freeing.
That's great. That's really wonderful. It's good to hear because I know oftentimes, that's one of the biggest problems that people who are blind have is the accessibility of the travel. Travel is always difficult. Well, it's that way in Miami Beach too. It's a very accessible town. There's the public transportation is great, but you can also walk everywhere. It's very easy to get around if you're blind or visually impaired in Miami Beach, which is not something they hawk. But when you live there, you notice that it's really a very accessible city.
Right.
So, what other things do you have? Any funny stories that have happened to you? Along the way that you just sort of shake your head at or laugh or
Oh
let me get
So
started now.
yeah, well, I normally don't, because I'm like super shy. Well, I used to be. I don't, not really anymore. So I wasn't really much of like a social person. Or in 2018, I think I went to the National Federation of the Blind conference in Florida. And I always have this really this fear of walking into the wrong bathroom. Like, it is legit real. Sometimes I will use my camera and flash it at the sign. And we're in the middle of, we're like in the middle of General Assembly, and I'm like, I lean over to my friend, I'm like, I gotta go to the bathroom. She's like, me too, let's go together. So we get up, we start walking, we're taking charge with confidence and whatever. We're walking out the door, and we're like, it's right there. Walk into the bathroom, it was the wrong bathroom, and all I hear is, hey, I don't think you guys are supposed to be in here. Was like, oh gosh.
Did that just recently happen?
Yeah, it was 2018. I was like, so now I just don't even, I don't even know. I wait for someone who knows which one is which, because they weren't Braille.
My gosh. No braille, but a bathroom there. It works.
Yeah. Like, well, this looks like the right one.
Oops. Well, I've been to Dolphins games where the line to the women's bathroom is always, way out the door, but the men's room is fast, so you just sort of dash in there, dash out, and everyone sort of
Yeah.
gets it. what would you tell, how old are you?
I'm 23.
Wow. So what would you tell other people your age who you know, maybe are on this blindness journey themselves?
I would honestly say just keep going. Do a lot of research, ask a lot of questions, and do not be discouraged. Something that I don't think is necessarily discussed enough is that while we have a lot of members of the community who are helpful, we have a lot of members who don't want to be helpful, and they're very negative, and they can impact other people's, you know, ability to learn and like what they're doing. So for me, I didn't know blind people existed. I am not gonna lie. I didn't know until middle school, because I wasn't sheltered, but I didn't have access to electronics or TV or any of that. And so then for
wow,
me,
not my, a TV either?
I wasn't allowed to watch TV. It was a lot. Yeah. So I didn't actually meet my first blind person until probably 2017. And I was like, whoa. You're not alone. It's hard. We all have the same questions you had. Some of us didn't necessarily ask when we should have. So, I mean, for me, I just learned how to do everything for myself in the past 3 years. So it's a huge change. My family is still not ready to accept it, but you have to do what's best for you, which is why I moved like 13 hours away.
You're 13 hours away from your family.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's amazing. So do they call and see how you're doing every once in a while?
Oh, they call me every day. And so sometimes if I'm feeling very adventurous, I'll put them on FaceTime and I'll take them with me on my adventures. Yeah.
That's really cool. Well, how's your mom take that? Does she worry about you?
So my mom normally isn't with me because she works. My grandma freaks out. Yeah, she gets really nervous, and then when she sees that I actually know what I'm doing, she's like, oh, okay. And then we repeat the cycle every single time.
Yeah. You know, even with my own grandchildren, I understand how that goes, because you have certain fears of your own, and then mm-hmm. you sort of put that on your grandchildren, and you know, they don't have the same fears. So you're like, oh, okay, you're okay with that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. Well, if anyone wants to reach out to you, Amber, how do they reach you?
So the best way to reach me is probably Facebook. My username is Amber N. Messmer. Hello.
So it's Messmer, Messmer, right?
Yes.
And N is a Nancy, Amber.
Yes.
N is Nancy, Messmer on Facebook. Well, Amber, I've really enjoyed our time today. You've got a really great attitude, really open. And congratulations on going for that law degree. I'm rooting for you. I know you're going to be great. You're going to be like the future lawyer that everyone turns to. So, you know, thank you so much for being with us today, Amber. And thank you for changing the way we see blindness. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.